Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Monday, August 5th, 2019. We have 18 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 knots in the afternoon, so it could be a little bit windy on the beach. Wind waves from the northwest 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and southwest swells 1 foot high at 15 seconds between wave crests. Patchy fog early in the morning. And on the Columbia River Bar today, we have those max ebb current times happening. One had one around 8:45 today, and another around 9:30 tonight, and seas will reach about 3 to 4 feet during those times. And those are times when things can get exceptionally turbulent on the Columbia River Bar, which is at the very mouth of the river, so that's why it has its own forecast to advise you when to stay away from that area, especially in a small boat. And today we're going to talk about an area icon that, you know, everyone in Astoria certainly knows, the Astoria Megler Bridge, which had a birthday recently last week. Monday was the 53rd anniversary of that bridge opening, which was a real game changer for people here in terms of getting from one side of the river to the other. But first, let's take a look at ships that are going up and down the river today. We have 6 inbounders. We have 8 in our Astoria anchorages. And we have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the American Freedom, arriving from Los Angeles, headed for Portland. She's a petroleum tanker. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 a.m., and you might see her in the Portland area in early afternoon, maybe around 1:30. The Emerald Strait is arriving from Russia, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She is going to the port of Portland, ultimately, to pick up potash. And she'll be in the Astoria anchorage probably also by about 7:30 this morning. The Aerosort is arriving from China, headed for Portland for a berth at the port of Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 9 a.m. You might see her in Portland by about 4 p.m. The Global Passion is arriving from Seattle, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's another ship headed for the port of Astoria to pick up potash eventually, but she'll arrive in Astoria's anchorage by about 1:30 p.m. The Dubai Sun is arriving from offshore. She's headed for Astoria's anchorage as well. And she will arrive there probably around 8:30 p.m. And the Poplar Arrow is arriving from Vancouver, B.C., headed for Vancouver, Washington for the anchorage there. But she will be picking up soda ash at the Port of Portland, probably pass Astoria in the wee hours around 3:30 a.m. and arrive in the Vancouver anchorage about 9:30 p.m. And those ships that come in and just sort of stop their journey temporarily in the anchorage off Astoria or other anchorages on the river are coming in, and they stop in the anchorage to wait until it's their turn to go to their berth. The berth could be occupied by another ship, or they could need to undergo various inspections before they can proceed to their berth. All of those things can happen in the anchorage, and the ships that are waiting out there usually have no cargo on board and are undergoing various, you know, ship's agents, Coast Guard inspections, U.S. government official inspections from the USDA and other things related to what kind of cargo they're going to pick up. So a lot can be happening at those on board those ships that are sitting offshore in the anchorages. Speaking of anchorages, we have one ship in our Astoria anchorage headed upriver today. She's the Argent Hibiscus, headed for port westward to pick up ethanol. She will be leaving around 8 p.m. and arrive in Klatskanai at the port westward facility there at about 10:30 this evening. That leaves awaiting orders the Blue Bosphorus, the Serenity Sea, the Frontier Leader in the Eye Evolution, the Endurance SW, and the African Harrier. And in the Rice Island anchorage, a little bit upriver from Astoria, we have the Maria awaiting orders there. And by awaiting orders, I mean, really, it's the pilots, the Columbia River pilots, and who are awaiting the orders to take the ship upriver. So when they don't really quite have clear orders yet, they make a note that the ship is just awaiting orders, and they'll hear from them when they want to. Someone wants the ship moved upriver. In our outbounders, the Catalina leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board, heading out around 2 a.m., passing Astoria outbound, then maybe around 7 a.m., so she probably already passed by. The Chesapeake Highway leaving Portland with Toyotas on board, so a car carrier, leaving about 3 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. The Spirit of Sea Trek is leaving Kalama with wheat on board around 5 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 10 p.m. And the Green Bay is leaving Vancouver with Subarus on board. She's leaving around 8 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 2 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Well, let's talk about this really cool bridge that if you live in this area or you vacationed in this area, you have seen it and driven over it. It connects Oregon and Washington in this area, and it's a big deal for getting from one side of the river to the other in a timely way. But it wasn't always there, of course. It had an anniversary last Monday on July 29th of 53 years ago on that day, the bridge opened. And at the time, it still is, at least according to the reference materials I have, the longest continuous truss bridge in North America. It is a steel cantilever through truss bridge. So I saw that and I thought, wow, what does that mean? So I did a little bit of research. Here's a little bit more about this kind of bridge, which is actually ideal for the place where it is. A cantilever bridge is a bridge built using cantilevers, which are structures that project horizontally into space, supported on only one end. It's used sometimes for small footbridges. However, large cantilever bridges like ours here are designed to handle road or rail traffic. They use trusses from structural steel, which is a network of steel beams that kind of, you see that cross-hatching sort of look about them. Those are trusses. And so a steel truss cantilever bridge was a major engineering breakthrough when it was first created, as it can span distances of over 1,500 feet and can be more easily constructed at difficult crossings by virtue of little or no supporting work there. So it's a different kind of a bridge that that is ideal for the kind of place where we have here, creating a long bridge where you have to have a wide channel that is open and clear for ship traffic to go under. So with the right materials and engineering, a steel truss cantilever bridge can span well over 1,500 feet. They're especially useful for spanning a waterway. And it was first invented by a German engineer, Heinrich Gerber. He was able to lengthen the cantilevers and build a bridge that was long enough to cross Germany's main river. So a proud tradition of bridge building that led to us being able to have our bridge here. So a little bit more about the bridge itself. 14 miles from the mouth of the river, it was the final segment of U.S. Route 101. It was completed. So when that bridge happened, it made Route 101 continuous from Los Angeles to Olympia, Washington. Before then, there was ferry service, and you can see that one of the original ferries down at Pier 39, the Astoria Tourist Number 2, that ferry took people back and forth across the river before the bridge was built. And so, but one of the problems was the ferry couldn't operate during bad weather, and we know what kind of bad weather we get here. And the half-hour travel time caused delays. It was a car ferry. So the bridge was built jointly by the Department of Transportation and Washington State Department of, by the Oregon and Washington Departments of Transportation. The bridge was, the concrete piers were cast at Tongue Point. I didn't realize that, but it was created locally. And the steel structures were built in segments in Vancouver, Washington, and barged downstream here. So ferry service ended the night before the bridge opened. The bridge cost $24 million, which is equivalent to $185 million today. And it was paid for by tolls that were removed on December 24th, 1993, more than 2 years early. So when they paid for the bridge, they stopped the tolls. And that's a pretty cool thing right there. So this bridge, this iconic bridge that many of us have driven across, it just has some very interesting information behind it. It's really strong. It was built to withstand 150 mile per hour wind gusts and river water speeds of 9 miles per hour. As of 2004, an average of 7,100 vehicles per day use the Astoria-Megler Bridge. So quite an interesting bit of Astoria's history that we can see every day. Those of us who are here and visitors as well from all around the world. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.